Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
So the war which America and Israel started is all but over, and a trickle of tankers have started shipping oil through the infamous Strait of Hormuz, pushing down oil prices. But my next guest says even if they ramp up quickly, there'll still be a shortfall of 11 million barrels a day from the Middle East. And why didn't oil prices go even higher during the worst energy shock in modern history? All questions for David Roach, the founder of Quantum Strategies. Good morning, David.
Good morning to you. How are you?
Not too bad, David. So, how much oil flows through the Strait of Hormuz on a normal day before this war started, and how much is flowing through now?
Okay, to put it simply, the amount of oil production in the Middle East, which mainly goes through the Strait of Hormuz, is 25 million barrels a day. If you knock off refined products and then just look at crude, which will keep the conversation simple for us, you're looking at 20 million barrels a day. Mm. Of that, that's a normal day, 20 million. Okay, some of that will go out through the Red Sea, but in the main, you're looking at probably the vast majority of that going out through the Gulf. Now, during the war, that fell to about 8 million barrels a day. And it wasn't leaving through the Gulf. There was only 2.5 million leaving through the Gulf. It was actually leaving through pipelines to Fujairah in the United Arab Emirates on the other side of the Straits of Hormuz, and also to the Yanbu terminal in the Red Sea, which is the Saudi Arabian pipeline. So, look, put it simply, you were missing 12 million barrels a day out of global oil supply. That's what was missing. The question is now, how soon does that stop being missing? How soon does it come back? Mm. And I think it'll probably, if you take two things, number one is some production will come back on stream. And secondly, you have a huge amount of oil which is locked up in tankers and on storage tanks on shore, probably about 300 million barrels. As the tankers leave the Gulf, that will come back. So again, let's go to the bottom line. That would probably cut that deficit from 12 to 6 million barrels a day. It would still be there, but it would be much less critical.
Okay, so there's still going to be a shortfall, and we had little or no oil coming from that strategically important part of the world for 4 months. But why didn't prices explode? They did reach about $118 a barrel for Brent in April, but given the massive shortfall, why didn't they hit 150, 180, 200?
Well, I'll tell you very simply for that, there is one simple reason, and that is destocking. Obviously, the Americans sold oil from the Strategic Oil Reserve, but the biggest difference was China. China virtually reduced its oil imports to zero. They actually fell, about 40 to 50% on a day-to-day basis, but they stopped importing and started to use their massive reserves. Now, if China is not taking that amount of oil out of the global supply, that amount of supply is there for other users, which is what happened. So China cut its draw from the available oil in the global system, and the other countries were able to avail themselves of that increased supply, which then reduce the rate at which they ran out of oil. They ran out of oil more slowly because that supply was there. That's why it didn't go up. There were other things, Joe, like, for instance, you have to look at which prices you're looking at. If you're looking at spot prices, they stayed above $100 for a long, long time, while the Brent prices, which are basically speculative traders, they anticipated a Trump settlement or a Trump kind of surrender in the Middle East. Mm. So you had a dichotomy in pricing as well.
Okay. Ed Conway from Sky suggests that unflagged ships with transponders off were transporting a lot more oil through the strait than we think, with the Americans simply looking the other way.
No. Frankly, that's a nice idea, but that's Trump's idea and it's Trump's narrative. It's simply not true, because we can pick up ships with oil that are in the Gulf moving towards leaving, and we can pick up the ships after they have left the Gulf and they go off to China or India. So those ships don't disappear. I'll give you the figure. There was 2.5 million barrels of oil a day which came out of the Gulf on shadow dark fleet tankers. And whether that was the Americans with their covert operations or that was the Iranians, the vast majority was the Iranians. The Iranians.
Yeah.
That's a big kind of a shibboleth of a story. There was a well-covered, well-traced flow of dark oil on dark tankers and through the U.S. And that was about 2.5 million barrels a day. So the problem was not self resolving, as you know, Trump kind of said.
Yeah,
that's a load of nonsense.
Now the IEA is predicting that we may actually see a glut of oil on the market when all this oil floods back onto the market.
Well, look, I'll tell you, you will temporarily see a glut of oil on the market. Now, how to explain that is human greed. When we all thought oil prices were going up, everybody stocked oil. I filled the tanks on my farm. You probably did the same in your vast estates, wherever they are. and so did countries. Everybody grabbed oil. For instance, the Saudis couldn't pump the oil out of the Gulf, so they put it in storage tanks. You've got that storage. That is approximately 300 million barrels of oil. You've got another 125 million barrels of oil stuck on ships that are going to come out. So all of the stocking because it couldn't get to the market or stocking because of greed, that will be self-liquidating. And that creates a supply which is not production. Production comes back much more slowly because about 50% of the 11 million barrel shortfall in production is actually damaged. So you'll only get back, say, half of it, 5 million. But where the glut comes in the short term is not production. It is actually the liquidation of inventories.
Okay. And what about the long-term impact of this? I see the United Arab Emirates are working on a plan to completely end its dependence on the Strait of Hormuz. And I suspect LNG suppliers like Qatar will look at something similar.
Oh, that's it. Look, there's no doubt about it that the Strait of Hormuz will never be the kind of nuclear weapon which it was in the hands of the Iranians ever again. That pipelines are going to be going towards the Mediterranean. They're going to be going in increased volume towards the Red Sea and other ways of getting it out of the Gulf without going through the Gulf. But you are still, so the whole geopolitical kind of map you and I are used to looking at, like a map on a school wall, that's all going to change. But it's going to take time to change. And second of all, there are other choke points. What about the Straits of Malacca? What about the Danish Straits? I mean, the whole thing about this crisis, it has created a whole new strategic risk which has to be dealt with by the great grey minds like you and I, which is that there are loads of choke points which any group of terrorists, extremists or inimical state can mobilize for it to further its self-interest. And that's what's in play. So it's not just oil, but you're quite right. The Straits of Hormuz are, in the historical frame of things, on the way out.
Very interesting. David, thank you so much and have a great day. That's David Roach, the founder of Quantum Strategies.
Breakfast Business with Joe Lynham on News Talk.
With Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland, helping people across Ireland invest, plan and grow their wealth with confidence. Cantor Fitzgerald Ireland is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.